This is the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview influencers, authors, speakers, and anyone who brings influence to the world. And today we have a special guest, Chad Osenga. And he's a retired Army sniper and a combat instructor. He has trained hundreds of men and women in health defense and combat applications. Chad, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
I am excited to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Chad, I met you through another podcast. I was influenced by a lot with your story. And you're from Virginia as well.
Yes, yes.
And I actually went to college in Virginia, in Lynchburg and Virginia Beach, but you're in Northern Virginia, which I also lived there. Actually, I lived there for 3 months, okay. Springfield near like DC. Yeah. So quite interesting. So tell us, Chad, a little bit about yourself. And I know your nickname is Mr. Tenacity.
Yeah.
Tell us, how'd you get that name, by the way?
It's really just my whole life. My wife gave me the name because after my second accident, I got hit by a car on my motorcycle for the second time. And it left me in the ICU for 7 days, in the hospital for 14 days. I had to learn how to walk again. Everything from my femur, my pelvis, and my hip is all fake. So it's just been a wild ride, but I've never let things, I guess, keep me down for too long, right? And as you said, I was born in Virginia. My mom was a drug addict and she was addicted to crack cocaine. So growing up, it was immense poverty, no direction. She was all over the place. At one point, we had drug dealers living in our home, selling drugs throughout our home. They actually had them buried in our backyard, like kilos of cocaine and crack. I didn't know at the time, of course, because I was young, and they would have me sell here and there for them, but it wasn't like I was making money. I was just doing it to try to fit in and survive and be a part of them. My house was raided at 14 years old. My mom went to federal prison. I got sent to family in Oklahoma, and that was supposed to be a safe spot, but it wasn't, right? They treated me kind of like a lesser of a human. They would stick me in the corner for hours, make me do my homework there, eat there until I had to go to bed. And then they would spank me to the point where they would pull down my pants like raw, like, you know, they're not my parents, right? And they would just, till I'm black and blue. Sometimes I would be bleeding from my thighs up to the upper part of my rear end. So it was I don't think it was a very good situation for me. So I ended up running away. First time I got caught, second time I actually made it back to Virginia. And from there, the damage was kind of done as far as my mentality, right? Like I was very negative. I didn't believe in my life. I didn't think that I was going to have anything more than what I had seen in my life, which was not much, right? And then the universe works in really wild ways. I meet this woman in school. It was actually when I got back to Virginia, they wouldn't let me go to school in my school district that I started in because of all the trouble that I had been in. So they shipped me off to this other school district, and I meet this young lady, and she changed my life, man. She was like a light in a dark room. She believed in me, like all these things I had never really had in my life. And there it was, right? So she forced some change. She gave me some, you know, ultimatums. She was like, you're going to have to stop selling drugs and being a knucklehead. And so I did. We ended up getting married. And I sat around after our second child, and we were in low-income housing. And I was like, man, if I don't do something, we're going to have the same freaking life that I grew up in. And I don't want my kids growing up like that. I don't want them in the same environment. So I didn't have any skills. I had dropped out of school when I was in ninth grade. I had nothing to leverage, you know. So my grandfather was a Marine, and I was like, military, here I come. And so that's kind of what led me to the military. It was out of desperation of not wanting to repeat what I had lived for myself and my kids and my family.
Yeah. And your wife told you to go to the Army, or you decided to go to the Army because your wife was kind of pressuring you to get things straight or something? Or
no, she wasn't. It was more me. It was me looking around, and I've always had this feeling on the inside, like there was more on the inside of me than what I was putting out, right? And so I always have this what if, right? What if I could? What if I could have more? And to me, the only way to bridge that gap was the military. That was the only thing I could leverage that would give me an entry into a better life.
Tell us your time at the Army. I know you became a sniper.
Yeah.
Which is not a, not like anyone could become a sniper, but tell us your experience with that.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me. It was probably one of the best decisions I have ever made outside of course, you know, my wife and having kids, but it didn't start out well, right? Because I had no structure in my life joining the military. And then I come into this situation where it's like, you know, people are breathing down your neck. They're cussing at you. They're yelling at you. They're putting a lot of pressure on you, right? And, you know, at first I didn't want to do it. I was like, man, this is not for me. What have I done? This is the worst decision of my life. Chad, man, what are you doing? And what I realized is that I was stuck. I had made this decision, right? And they weren't going to let me out of it, right? I had signed the dotted line, man. I'm in this thing. So once I made that, I guess that epiphany kind of happened where there was no point in fighting this thing. I immersed myself in being a soldier and I fell in love. I found my jam, right? Like I started to really become what they wanted me to become. And they break you down, right? And then they build you into this machine for them, right? At least that's the goal. Not all of us turn out like that, but once I stopped fighting it, I sure did, right? It was everything to me. I finally had found something I was good at. I found purpose, you know? And so, yeah, I ended up having the opportunity to go to a special operations sniper school. And it was a very, very tough school. Most people, the attrition rate was really high. And most people would fail within the first, I mean, the guy that drove me there failed on day one, right? Day one, he got sent home and I had no ride back home. So that was a whole different story. But yeah, I mean, that's how intense that training was. And, but I made it through because I really, you know what, I think what it is because I've had so many disadvantages in my life. I knew I had to work harder than everybody else in the room. I knew that everybody there was better than me, more experienced than me, sharper than me in all these different areas. I was truly the most junior person in my class, right? Like I was walking amongst giants and I felt very intimidated. And that intimidation didn't make me turn away. It made me dive into it. So when everybody else was sleeping, I was studying. When everybody else was taking breaks, I was behind the gun, you know, making adjustments, learning how to be that craft, right? So, I mean, that's kind of how that boiled down. I fell in love with it. And towards the end of my career, I ended up being a combat applications instructor where I taught everybody. I taught everything from all four branches of the military, special operations. And then the program grew so big that I was able to teach the FBI, SWAT teams, DEA, U.S. Marshals. I'm trying to think of all of it. There's a lot of different agencies. The U.S. Marshals are one of my favorites. And they were just hungry, man. Like, they were, like, in it, man. Maybe it was just the group of guys I got, but they were, like one of the guys was a jujitsu guy. Like he had trained jujitsu on his off time. So he loved combat. He loved just that physicalness of the fight. And so it was really easy to teach him. And, you know, so it was cool. Yeah.
Now you were a sniper during Iraq, obviously. Did you ever perhaps meet Chris Kyle?
No, he's in the Navy. He was a Navy SEAL. And, but you know, it's funny that you just said that because he's one of my heroes. I actually have his book. I really tried to emulate Chris Kyle in a lot of ways. I thought that he embodied what a sniper was. So yeah, he was definitely a big hero, but never got to meet him. No.
Now back then, like, did the Army saw your skills? Wow, you'd be a great sniper. Like, what got you to be in that sniper program? first?
So it's a tough process. So you already have to be able to shoot, right? Like that's a prerequisite. People think that you go into sniper school to learn how to shoot, and it's opposite, right? Like shooting is maybe, I mean, you shoot a lot. Don't get me wrong. You shoot a ton in sniper school, like to the point where your shoulders are hurting, but that's not, it's bigger than that. If I don't know how to say that, but it's like so many other intricacies that are involved. And shooting is really about 20% of the overall skill set of a sniper, right? There's so many other things. Like we used to have this thing, it's called KIMS, keep it in memory. And I'll never forget the first one. It was so freaking hard, man. So we would go, I don't know if you know what a stalk is, but basically a stalk, they teach you to basically hunt your opposition, right? So they give you a grid coordinate of the target. They drop you off somewhere, right? And they say, go find it. And then during the training, right, you have to sneak in. You have to set up, okay? And you have to take the shot. And basically the target is instructors when you're training. And they usually have these letters that they're holding. And now here's the thing is these guys have been doing this craft for longer than I've been alive. So they're very, very skilled. And they're watching for us infiltrating in, right? So a lot of people failed. The stalks were probably one of the biggest failures that students had coming into the school. It was a very, very, I mean, there was a guy that got caught because a leaf on his ghillie suit flipped upside down and they saw the glare on the leaf because a leaf has a shiny side, right? Which is the underside. And so it turned up, the light hit it. And the instructor saw it and he got dinged for it. So simple stuff like that catches you up. But the stalks, you would go into the stalks, you would have to find the target, you'd have to make the shot. And then after that, they would send a lane walker over to the vicinity and they would still see if they could find you. You had to make a second shot while they're looking in the vicinity that you're in. And then you have to infiltrate out without getting caught. So it was very stressful and very meticulous, you know, act, right? But we came out of a stalk and here is this like a blanket that your mom would have, right, on a picnic, right? And it's laying like bundled up, right? And so we come around, they tell us to huddle around it. They open up the sheet. And there's all of these objects, right? And none of them are like the same. So pencils, a building block, a book, a protractor, right? Like just random items, okay? And they say you have 1 minute to memorize everything that's on this sheet in order and the details. So like when I mean the details, okay, let's say a number two pencil, it's a Bic, it's brown, it's 1 inches long. I don't know. I'm just guessing, right?
Every minor detail.
Yeah, they wanted, right?
Wow.
And then, so you have 1 minute. I think it was 1 minute. It's been several years, but I think it was 1 minute to memorize the order. And then you had 1 minute to write everything down in order on a piece of paper right there on the spot. And then you got graded on that every single time they would pop one in. So it was very challenging mentally. It was more of a mental challenge than it was anything else, in my opinion, right? I'm sure everybody has different perceptions of the school, you know, and there's different ones. Like I didn't go to the one in Fort Benning, which a lot of people go to. I went to a special, I mean, all the instructors were special operations and they were NATO special operations there as well. So I got to learn from different countries. It was really, really cool experience, but it was very tough.
I always wonder if an average human ever memorized every detail when they walk into a room. I wonder if there's someone out there. Have you met anyone that done that? Not in the army per se, but
I would say that there are people that are close to that, you know, that are very detail oriented. They walk in, they notice things that others don't. I would say yes. I would say they might not be dialed into the why of behind why they do it. You know, they might just do it naturally, like, oh, you know, I noticed this, that, and the third, right? But, you know, when it's dialed in and there's a lot more intention behind it, you really notice a lot of things. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. Incredible. So you went to Iraq. Tell us your experience with that.
Oh, I mean, it was Iraq, hot. It was uncomfortable. And, you know, I'll say this, I miss it in a lot of ways, right? Because life is simple. All right. And what I mean by that is, you know, exactly what you're going to do every single day. Right. You know why you're there, and you kind of filter out all the distractions that you have in the civilian world. In the civilian world, you got everything from what's going on the news to your relationships to just your job, all these different things and inputs and data. Whereas when you're overseas, you're very dialed into why you're there. Everyone around you is pretty much dialed in. Yeah, you miss home. And yeah, there's things that happen along the journey, but it's pretty predictable, right? Like, you know what to do, how to show up. And so it was a good experience. I missed it. I did end up going off of a roof head first, which messed me up pretty bad. And my eyes are all janked up because my nods went into my eye. The jelly around my retina is dented in and crumpled. And so, like, I see blotches and stuff in my right eye. So it's not so fun. But, you know, it was a good experience, man. You know, I wouldn't say I want my kids to go, you know, but I would say that it was good for me. I needed it in a lot of different areas. And yeah.
And you were talking about your eyes. Has there been procedures that are able to correct it more, or is it?
No, yeah, because it's around the retina, they advise not to do it. So they basically said if I go blind, that would be the reason they would have. I mean, like, if they go in, they're afraid they would cause blindness, and the result of this going sideways would cause blindness. So I'm kind of in that middle area of where we're just hoping that everything stays the way it has been and life goes on.
We talked about Chris Kyle, the movie American Sniper. Was it a similar experience when you saw the movie? Kind of resemble some things, or?
I mean, yes and no. Yeah, I mean, there's like they overseas, they use kids. Like, I don't know if you remember that scene in the movie, but they had the kid with the IED.
Yeah,
and you know, that's a very real scenario. They use women and kids to do their bidding, right? And it's a gnarly situation. I actually have a friend who had a similar situation, and he had to eliminate a target that was very young because he had an IED, and it was around the same age as his son, and he could never get past that. He kind of broke mentally after that, and that's a sad situation. So, but it is very real. There's a lot of similarities, but movies are still movies, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, and so they're going to put their cool guy spin on stuff. And, you know, because there's times in Iraq where, like, there's a lull. It's not like you go out and you're just in these firefights every single freaking day. And, you know, things are balls to the walls every single day. Like, it's not like that, right? You might go a month, 2 months with nothing, and then they just hit you, which is part of their plan too. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible experience. And, you know, learning like the aftermath and post-war stories is incredible. So Chad, tell us where you've been up to lately. I know that you speak and, you know, have speaking in engagements, but tell them, can you tell the audience where you're up to these days?
Yeah, man. So like I was telling you, that motorcycle wreck I got into in 2020, it really changed my world, and it set me in a direction to really become the best version of me, right? And as I did that, I started telling my story. So yeah, now I speak, I write, I do a lot of articles for like Authority Magazine. I think I have like 7 articles with Authority Magazine already published. what was that magazine? I'll think about it. But
Men's Health or Better Health?
It's something Homes. Is it Better Homes or something like that? But they did an article on me that is going to publish here soon as well. Good Housekeeping. That's it. I didn't know who they were. My wife went nuts when they called me and wanted an interview. And I was like, I don't know who they are. And she was like, no, they're awesome. So I've been doing that. I just rolled out a coaching program as well. So I'll be doing a group coaching. And then I'll also have an elite program. So, you know, people can pay a little more. They get one-on-ones with me and they get more of an elite package. And I'm also doing podcasting now. So the Legend of You podcast is my podcast. I just launched that July 1st. And so that's been going well. So I'm pretty busy, man, with everything that's going on, plus four kids. Three of my kids have special needs. So I got a busy life and I got a beautiful wife who's, and she's doing real estate. So I'm trying to help her with that as well. So we have a full plate, but it's been beautiful. I get to help a lot of people. And that's my goal is to help 100 million people become the legends that I know that they're destined to be.
And yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because one of the things that I noticed on your website is rebuilding your mindset. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, man, that has saved my life, right? So when I got back, when I retired from the military, I really faced a lot of demons that I didn't deal with prior to coming out of the military. And at one point, I almost killed myself. I had a gun to my head, the whole nine. Like I was butt naked, crying on the floor with a pistol in my hand. And if it wasn't for my dog licking me profusely and not stopping, I would have squeezed the trigger and done the deed. That's how close it was. It had to have been the universe that stopped it because I was there. I was ready. And so I say all of that because I kind of recognized that I needed to work on me. So I went to start going to counseling and stuff like that. But then I got hit by the first car. Nothing changed. I was still drinking. I was still just really just trying to numb my mind. I didn't want to deal with my stuff. Right. And then in 2020, I was stuck in ICU for 7 days, no phone, no family, no nothing. And I had to face me. I had to look at the guy in the mirror, right? And when I did that, it was the best situation I possibly could have been in. I actually thanked the guy that hit me because if he hadn't, I don't know where I'd be today. It changed my world and it showed me that all of this stuff that I've been going through is for a reason, right? Like I don't know if you know who Napoleon Hill is, but I love that man. And he says that for every adversity, there's a seed of equal or greater opportunity in that adversity. And throughout my life, I've had all this adversity, but all I could see is the adversity, right? Like all I could see is the bad stuff in my life. Instead, this time it was like I pushed all the rubbish away and I saw this little seed hiding there and I grabbed it. I took it out and I put it in good soil, started watering that thing, put in some sun and let it blossom. And it's been the greatest change in my life. And now I understand that without the proper mindset, it doesn't matter what you're facing in your life or where you want to go in your life. You're not going to succeed your full potential unless your mindset is correct. And so now I'm on that mission to really help people become that version of them. And that's where it starts is their mindset, man. I'm a firm believer in paradigm shifting and it has to happen if you want to be the best you.
Chato Singha. Wow. What an incredible story through your life. And we could have touched a lot more bases, but due to time, you know, limited, but wow. So Chad, what is the best way for people to look for you online, to know more information about your coaching programs and whatnot?
Yeah. All right. So for my coaching program, you can go to doistate.com or I have my own personal website, mrtenacity.com. That's just about me. My email is mrtenacity40@gmail.com. Please shoot me a message. I'm a normal dude. I love being able to help people. On Facebook, it's Chato Singha. on Instagram, Twitter. Well, Twitter, it's the Legend of You podcast. But on Instagram and what's that other one?
TikTok.
TikTok. There we go. I'm just starting on TikTok. I don't know much about the TikTok, but I'm on it. And both of those are Mr. Tenacity. So look me up. Send me a message. I would love to connect and help as many people as I can.
Chetto Singha, very open to helping out people. When I reached out to you for the podcast, you were automatic. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And that is when someone's ready, willing, and able. I like that. So it makes things a little bit easier. Wow, this is a great, great podcast, great episode. It motivated me already for just half an hour. But hey, it was good enough. Chad, any closing words before we depart?
You know, I'll tell you this. Everything that you need is already within you. You might have to do some digging. You might have to do some refining and some shaping, but it's in you. Stop looking for the answer in somebody else or something else. It's in you. You gotta refine you. And when you do that, I promise you, the sky's the limit.
Chetto Singha, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you for having me.